Some things are more important to remember than other things. Would you agree? I think you would. Tonight we're going to talk about remembering. It is a topic that God talks about often, actually. And tonight just got me thinking a little bit more intentionally about it, because it's the end of the year, and it's a chance for us to remember, to look back on the school year and to say, well, God, what did you do? And he did a lot. He's done a lot. And I guarantee you this, he has done a lot this year directly in your life that at the time you probably said, this is awesome, I'm never going to forget, and it's only been a few months and you've probably forgot. I'm not saying that to rip on you. I'm saying that because that's human nature, and I'm saying that's because that's who I am. And as I'm looking through my life, there are a lot of things that I forget. And like I said before, some of it's not that important. There is a reason that Trivial Pursuit is named as it is. It is trivial. And it's my excuse because I'm so bad at that game. So, it's just trivial. It's just trivial anyway. I know that this is going to probably cause some of you to look down upon me in a way. I'm going to admit something that many of the girls especially are just going to gasp and maybe run out of here with complete disdain for me. My wife and I have had years where we have forgotten our anniversary. There they go. They're running out the doors. And I say, and I think to a lot of people, are just be like, that's like one of the most important things. And it's like, yeah, marriage is one of the most important things. But you know what? It isn't like we forgot we were married, okay? We still remembered that. And that's the important thing. And I guess I'm going to liken that a little bit to this relationship here that we have with God. That there are times where you're not going to remember every sermon that you received, but it's kind of like a meal. You know, you needed it at the time, but I can't remember what I ate last Tuesday, but I needed that. And God just gives us what we need as we go, but there are some things, I think, that are extra special and extra important that he's asked us to remember so that we can maintain this marriage relationship with him. The big things. The things that change us to our core. We have a scripture here tonight from Psalm 105. There it is. It says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. This is a verse that has really stuck with me this week, because remembering the Lord, I think, is in context with that first part, that we would be seeking his face always. Do we have that kind of a relationship with him? We tend to forget the things of God, and I got to thinking, why do we tend to forget the things of God? Because I've been to the Philippines a number of times now, as you know, and it seems like every time that I go, I am just like brought face to face with the Lord, where there are certain things that end up happening on those trips where it's evident to me that God is just present. And it's like, what are the chances that we would have met this person at this time on that bus at this particular, with this particular purpose, blah, blah, blah. And I go back to my room and I'm like, oh my gosh, the Lord is just present here. And then it's a few weeks after I'm back into this world where the Philippines is over there, and I'm like, What happened? I kind of forgot. And I'm trying to remember some of the stories that I had in early Philippine trips, and I'm drawing a blank. And I know God was present, and I'm thinking, man, I stink. I don't have a clue what ended up happening. I know God did a lot of neat things along the way, and I want to remember. So there are those things that are very vivid to me that I know that I forget. that I have forgotten. But there are other times in my life where I feel like I remember more than most people do because I'm always thinking of sermon illustrations, right? And it's kind of neat to me as I go through the week and I have this verse on my mind and God's trying to teach me something and all of these situations will pop up and I'm like, oh, look what God did. And I get to tell that story and I have an outlet like this on a stage every week where I get to tell you a story of what God has done so that I can remember. And I bring you in and you remember with me. And some of you remember my stories better than I do. But I feel like I have an advantage there because of the opportunities that I have to share. And I think, here's what I think. I think you guys have a ton of opportunities where God has blessed you, where God has shown up in your life, where God has done something in a way that has really grabbed you, and you knew it in the moment, but after a while, it's old news and it's kind of fading out. And I'm just wondering, why do we do that? I know it's human nature, but I came up with three reasons. And there might be more, but these are three reasons that I came up with this week that I just got to thinking so that we don't feel totally bad about ourselves, okay? First is, we don't normally have a clean opportunity to retell. In other words, you don't have a stage like I have. It's kind of awkward in your class to be like, oh, and by the way, let me tell you about how the Lord protected me last week. Perhaps we should be more open with that, but it's not easy in our culture to cleanly retell God stories. Number two, it happens, these spiritual experiences happen like on another side of a wall, like if this was the material world where, you know, everything's, we have desks and we have tangible life going on. That's on this side of the wall. And on the other side of the wall, we have the spiritual reality, which we know is just as real. But sometimes it takes some work for us to transcend that, to get over to this side. And oftentimes it's in this zone that we end up receiving some kind of gift from the Lord, where we're like, you know what, God really did something huge. And it may have even affected the reality of this side of the wall. But because it happened there, after a while, it just becomes a memory or a dream, or we fade it into just something that's not necessarily tangible, and we forget. The third reason is because we always have another need, don't we? How many times I've been in pinches where I'm like, I didn't study, I know I should be done with this assignment, I should have had it done, I need some grace from the Lord, and God, please, if you could just give me some mercy on this, on this one project, I will never, ever forget your name ever again, right? And he somehow miraculously like gives you like a B+, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. For like 8 minutes, you're like, thank you, Lord. Until next week, and you got a test, and you got this other assignment. You're like, Lord, if you could just do this one time for me. The way we are, there's always a new need. So what do we need? What do we need to make this memory stick? We need markers. We need markers. God has always been into markers. There is a reason that he has told us to be baptized. That whole picture of us being upright in that water and then dying to ourselves, like Romans 6 says, being buried with him, and raised to walk in newness of life. It is a marker. And it is not a marker for him. It is a marker for us because we need to remember that I went through a ceremony that says I am all in. Why do we have weddings? I'm always telling this to the students. I'm like, you know, like this couple will come in and talk to me and I'm like, you know, let's just talk. I usually go to the girl first because this is where the girl just usually gets appalled, that they really will run out if you do share this story with them ever again. But I've asked girls before, you know, have you considered about just not getting married? I mean, it really is going to be inconvenient. It's probably going to be in a day where there's going to be like a football game or something, and the guys are going to have to like pull away from the TV, and they're going to have to like dress up and rent some kind of a tux, and it's going to cost money. And it's isn't his word good enough? Come on. Let's just be married. And the girls are like, no. That is not going to work. And that's because we know that this marker is important. This marker is indeed, it is indeed a significant thing. Same, that's where baptism kind of parallels with that. Oftentimes we will do things here where we will have some kind of a tangible icon. I think we started the year off with a white stone, and we've done things like that. It was interesting. I taught on the paralytic at a retreat like 3 years ago over in Indiana. And with Arnold a couple weeks ago, we went and visited that same campus ministry. And I gave everybody a mat. And I think I've done it here a long time ago before, too. So, Rick, you can remember that probably. So this mat was I taught from it. And it was just kind of this tangible thing. And it was just kind of neat as I went over just 2 weeks ago. And one of these guys comes up to me, which I didn't know who he was. And he's like, I still got my mat. And he's talking about how significant that this was for him, you know. I won't go into that sermon, but it was just kind of neat to see how markers do indeed work. They are indeed important. And I want to talk about some markers tonight. Here's another scripture I'd like to look at tonight. Before we get up there, can we pull that down for a second? I want to surprise him. It's going to be really good. I want to talk about how the Israelites needed to be miraculously delivered from the Egyptians, if you remember right, and they crossed the Red Sea. And a few years later, they needed to be delivered, and again, God parted water, and it was the Jordan River. And they walk across on dry land. And as if God remembered how they forgot. You know, as soon as they crossed the Red Sea, it was like instant complaining still. Just complaining and forgetting what God, that miraculous. You and I would think, man, if we went through an experience like that, we would never forget. But we probably, in some way, shape, or form, are doing that exact same thing. And so at this point, at this juncture, when God splits the water again, this is what he commands them to do. He says, each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, that'd be 12, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. And so they take these 12 stones on their shoulder over to the side, and they build this memorial. And for generations, the kids are saying, Mom, Dad, tell us the story again. And it became part of their culture. To look at the 12 stones, to retell the story, to remember what the Lord had done. Because I guarantee you, if they don't do something like that, we forget. You might wonder what this is all about. You know, this, if you've been to the campus house, you know this picture's been up for many, many years. And it was a sermon series that I did probably in, I don't even know, 2004 or 5, something like that. And you can see the Philippines are here. We talked about the Philippines, and you can see this door. You can see the communion table. Something about a cornerstone and a couch and a vineyard and a cross. Something about sandals and leadership and dark nights and I don't know what else. But I just remember this. What we did that year is every week I preached, we had a student, an artist who would just take a theme from what I talked on and he'd add it to the picture. And so nobody, including myself, knew what this picture would look like until the end of that semester. And it turned out to be kind of cool, so we left it hanging in the campus house. But you know what? That was really cool in 2005. Nobody here remembers that except me. And so what is it now? It's just something we all look at, which is kind of what we do, I think, in our traditions with churches, where we walk in and we think of all these things that don't make sense to us. But they made sense to somebody at some point, and all these icons and all these things, they do make sense. And so after a while, it just becomes a picture, it just becomes art. And so I am proposing tonight that we replace this with something of our own. The place that this normally took up on the wall, that spot that it took on the wall, I'm going to propose that we replace it with something else. Something like a shadow box. This is something that has been in my house for many years now. And it's something that I decided to put up for my family personally. Because there were some times in my life, and I think there's going to be times in your life too, when you end up having a family, where God really shows up and you just don't want to forget. And I thought maybe I would share with you some personal stories from my own life, my own shadow box, of where God has shown up. And maybe to be as an encouragement to you. But this top one here, the 2 feet, can you guys, I don't know how many people can see that from where you're sitting, but there's at least 2 little feet. Those are the feet of my oldest daughter, Micah, who is now quite a bit taller and bigger than that. But when she was born, you know how they always do the old feet thing, right? And the ink. And this is a memory for me, a memorial for me, to remember that we had a very difficult time getting pregnant. Just discovered that. We had a very difficult time getting pregnant initially, and as young women do, they end up getting a little bit obsessed about this problem, and my wife was crying often, and I was not happy because I had a wife that was crying often, and we really wanted a baby. And so we were in the Philippines, and we lost a baby, which was part of another story. But we came back, and we're trying to get pregnant, and we can't. And so they put us on some medication, some kind of fertility medicine, and they said, okay, if this doesn't work in 6 months, it's not working. And so, that nothing like a little pressure, right? So nothing to add to all that stress a little bit, you know. So every month she's just like, oh. And at the end of month one, nothing. At the end of month two, nothing. Month three and four and five are much the same. Month six comes and it's like, this is it. And it was the month that we got pregnant. And it was the month that we really had so much relief that the Lord really was involved in this life, and he gave us this new healthy baby, and we named her Micah, which means who is like the Lord, to remind us that no one provides like the Lord provides. So those are Micah's feet. Before that, this one at the bottom here, I may have told the story before, maybe some of you have heard it, but it bears repeating. It's worth it. I wasn't entirely sure whether or not I should be in ministry. Wasn't sure if God was calling me to that or if it was just my idea. And I knew that we were going to go to the Philippines. This is 1994. We're raising support. And if I don't get the money, then I don't go. And then I know that God shut the door, and then I'm going to go be a fireman. That was my plan. And so we're married, we're living in this apartment, and we're not sure if the Lord is wanting us to go or not, but we're pushing on some doors. And I pray this prayer on a Tuesday. I say, God, I need confirmation from you that this is a go. And I need, just to show me that you're in this, I just need $100 per month commitment by the end of the week. Now, see, that was a little bit demanding, wasn't it, in the way I said that? I don't recommend you pray that way, okay? But that's kind of where I was. I was kind of like, God, just, I know it's a little brash of me, but $100 end of the week, how about that? And by Friday, I'd forgotten I prayed that prayer, just like we're talking about tonight. Saturday night, I get this ring at the doorbell from a buddy of mine from this Bible college I was at. And he's all excited. He's with his sister, and they just came from their church, and they drove 45 minutes from their church, and they came, and there's some special event going on that Saturday night. And he came upstairs, and I was like, Paul, it's the middle of the night. What are you doing? He's like, I just got to tell you something. It's really exciting. So we get out of bed, and we answer the door, and he starts talking about this couple in his church that doesn't know us from Adam. And he says, they just said they wanted to support a missionary. And I told them about you. I told them about Paulette. And he says, and they've decided to give $100 a month. And it was at that point that I remembered that I prayed a prayer on Tuesday. And then I also started processing that prayer in my head. And I thought, and I said by the end of the week, and I look at the clock, and it was 11:59, a minute before the week was up. And I said, okay, Lord, I think I know where you want me to go. Do you know how many times I have forgotten that story? I've forgotten the story many times, and I look at the shadow box, and I'm reminded. I'm so glad that I put something here, because I'm the kind of person that forgets. This last one was a picture of Cordell. Isn't he cute? I don't know, you can't see it, but he is. He's cute. Maybe if that helps. Does that help? Oh, all right. But this is a picture of Cordell, and Cordell is a couple years old that time. And I'm back behind the house in my F-150. I got this truck that I loved, and I was washing it. Cordell was helping me wash it like a normal two-year-old would, you know, just playing in the suds. And I have to go back around to the front of the house, and I see Cordell goes into the house, so I'm like, that's good, he's in. I'm around the house, I come back, I start up the truck, and I'm ready to pull it back around and put it in the drive, and I let off the brake. And normally, every other time, the truck just goes. And the truck didn't go. And I thought, that's weird. Well, maybe it's because I'm in the grass, you know, parked on kind of a hill or whatever. And so I go to hit that gas, and for some reason, like, my foot just didn't, I just like, what? Thought about that. Like, why am I not putting my foot on that gas? And there was just that much of a hesitation, and I look down, and I see Cordell's little head walk out from the front of that left tire. And it, oh man, did that shake me up. To think that I really did about everything that I could have done to run over my own son, and God protected him. And that shakes you up for about an hour. The next week, you forget. I don't want to forget. I don't want to be a person that goes through my life forgetting all of these lessons, all of these things that the Lord has done. And I know I've shared this story too, but hey, it's a night to remember, right? So we're going to remind you of some of these stories. And all of my kids have got good stories. I got stories for all of them. But the last one I'll share is the one from Matea. See, that's just how old that shadow box is. It's more than 5 years old, because Matea, we adopted 5 years ago. And my daughter, Micah, she knew that we were involved in this process where we were going to adopt. And I told my wife, we can adopt one. And she said, I'd like to adopt two. And I said, of course you do. how about we stick with one? And she says, how about we stick with two? And if you know, my wife and I, like, we just are really both very laid-back people, and we get along on just about everything. I can't remember us really having a very big argument on many things over the years at all. You know, she'll say beige paint, and I'll say, sounds good to me. And we just kind of go with it. But when you're talking about one or two kids from Ethiopia, that's a bigger deal. And so I was pretty adamant about it. I was like, I just don't see two. I see one. And she says, I don't see one. I see two. And so it really caused each of us to have to go to separate corners and to really go to the Lord. And we did. And I credit her because she came back and she says, you know what? I'm good with one. And I was like, dang it. Of course you are, because I just went to the Lord and I said, he said it's good with two. And so what we did is we ended up getting Judah. And part of the process of getting our son was that they would send us these videos of kids that were already adopted, but they were kind of in the loop process. And so we got a video of all these kids that, I guess, to show us what Ethiopian kids look like. I don't know. So we're looking at these kids, and I knew that they were adopted already, but we got this video. And so as we're showing the kids this video, my 8-year-old daughter, Micah, the one with the little feet, she says, I like that one. Well, of course she liked that one because it was another 8-year-old girl, and 8-year-old girls love 8-year-old girls, and that's just how that works. And so when the time came for us to adopt, we had ended up adopting one. We adopted Judah. And it was the very next day after that. Oh, actually, it was during that day that we went to Micah and we said, we got our son, we got Judah. And Micah says, is there a girl too? And Paulette says, no, sweetie, there's not. There's just going to be a boy. And she says, can I keep praying for a girl? And Paulette and I said, you know, sweetie, you can do whatever you want, but you're going to have to learn that your prayers don't always get answered the way you want them to. I guess I have to learn that lesson more than a few times, don't I? And so the next day, we get a phone call from the agency, and this lady says, hey, I told you yesterday it's probably not wise to adopt two kids about the same age. And I know you've never asked for a girl, but there's a girl about the same age that's come up for adoption, and her parents that originally were going to purchase, put the down payment down, couldn't come up with the money. And so she's come free. And now this girl that was in the video's name was Bethlehem. And so Paul had asked, she says, what's the girl's name? And the lady said, Bethlehem. It was the same girl that Micah had been looking on this video. And so Matea, Bethlehem Coco, is in our family now today. And I look back at those stories and I think, you know, the Lord has shown himself to be very true. He has shown himself to be very mighty. And I have shown myself to be very forgetful. There is a history of what God is doing with an encounter that is very beautiful. It goes back beyond me. I was talking to Morgan today, and she says, I just love hearing old stories about encounter, but it makes me sad because I wasn't here. And I know it makes me kind of sad too, because there's some really cool stuff that's happened along the way, much like this painting up here that you don't really have much of a connection with, of course. And I was talking to Dave last week too about some other paintings at the campus house. And I remember, I don't even remember what year it was, but there was this girl who came into our ministry. She was reclusive, dressed in dark black goth kind of clothing. And I remember she was an artist, and so I thought, you know, I'll include this girl into my conversation. I'll be nice. And we're at the campus house, and that front wall was all white. Everything was white in the campus house. I'm going to do something about this, you know? And I said, hey, girl, I said, that front wall needs something. And I don't really want to put a cross up there. I'm not against cross. I get the meaning of it, but it's a little overdone, and I think it's a little over-traditional, and maybe we could come up with something different. And she started looking at that wall, and she just stared at it for a long time. And I'm thinking, this is a weird chick. And she said, I'd like to paint the Trinity. And I said, girl, I can't even explain the Trinity. How are you going to paint it? And she says, I see the source of all good things being God, the light, the Father being light. And she says, I'm gonna have this like light backdrop coming through on clouds. And she says, and I see the Holy Spirit being a dove, where it says that the Holy Spirit ascended on Jesus like a dove. And she says, and I see that dove carrying a crown of thorns, which would represent Jesus. And it's been on all of our publicity, and here's the picture of it. I think it's up in the front of our campus house. And that there is a picture of the Trinity. And I don't know exactly what year that was, but that girl right after that, she ended up moving into our house and becoming one of our dearest friends, and really, I think, came to know the Lord in a deeper and richer way through this ministry. And she's now married and lives in Clinton, Iowa. And she's a big part of this place and this history and what God's done and how God's shown up in a very unique way, and you don't even know that. But it's part of you too. And so here's what I'm proposing. I'm proposing that we replace this picture, as nice as it is, with a little section at the campus house that we'll just, I don't know if we'll just say remember, I don't know what we'll put above it, but I thought we'd have a little section there at the campus house where you get to contribute to the remembrance, where you get to put up your 12 stones, where you get to do something on an annual basis, where we can just kind of add baptisms and pictures and it's easy to forget, but many of you may have forgotten. You know, we were like 1 month away from being in the red and nobody getting paychecks here, and you guys did that fun run and we had $8,000 raised. That was just a few months ago. I forgot about that. Wouldn't it be cool if we had a place at the campus house where we could just kind of make a very beautiful, messy picture of our own? And maybe we make it annual, or maybe we just add to it, I don't know. But I'm thinking that we'd start that this fall. And if any of you are interested in maybe helping make that really cool, you know, come talk to me, and we'll make that look sweet over the summer. And then it's your job. Now, do you remember that text before where it says they had to retell it to the children? Remember that? Hey, what do these stones mean? What do these stones mean? Hey, Dad, what's these stones? Oh, let me tell you the story again, son. Let me tell you the story again. We're going to tell you the story again. Hey, I'm telling you a story now. And so when freshmen show up, we can call them kids, right? When freshmen show up in August, we get to tell them, hey, this is the place where we're going to add our stories, where we get to put something up that marks the presence of God. And so when God changes your life this year, and he's gonna, freshman, and when he does something big in your life, let's mark it. Are we in for that? All right, three of us will be in there. That's good. Here's what I want to end the night with. This, there's been some really special things that I think have happened over the course of this year for you. Something very specific that God's done, maybe outside of this ministry. This God's bigger than this place for sure. I mean, this is whatever God's done for you this year. I want you to spend some time. We're going to worship. We got like four songs at the end here. We just want to worship the Lord. And in that presence of worship, would you just let God remind you of the things that he has done for you? And we're going to have a very tangible outlet for that tonight. Do you remember that Last Supper, that Passover meal when Jesus sat with his disciples and he said, take this in remembrance of me? And so tonight I'm going to ask that you guys make your way. Whenever you feel comfortable, it's going to be like this picture. It's just going to be kind of messy, okay? So during worship, let the Lord speak to you. Sing if you want. But when you're ready, I'm going to ask that you would make your way up to this front corner, up to that front corner, and that you take communion with us. If you're a believer in Jesus, you're welcome to do that here. You just take a little bit of that bread and a little bit of that juice and you say, you know what? I'm going to remember that time when you told me that truth through my roommate. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to take. And so let's just make this be our end of the year remembrance and thanks to the Lord, because you know what? It is all about his purposes. It's all about him making himself real to us, that we have to thank him tonight. This isn't like high school yearbook remembrance. This is like the Lord did something very real in my life, and I'm going to recognize him for it tonight. So let's stand and I'll pray. God, I want to let you know that I confess that I am a forgetful person. Yet, I have not forgotten that you're my God, that I am married to you. And I'm so thankful that we have a remembrance tonight, a time to just thank you, to look back, and to, in this present time, give you credit for what you did in September. And I pray that that this would be a time that would be very meaningful, not just for what we remember, but how it's going to project us on forward to where we need to go. So again, we welcome you into this presence tonight, into this place, that your spirit would stir and it would remind us of the things of old. It's in Jesus' name we pray.